We live in an age of choice, and I'm sure some of you can identify with the person standing in the aisle, and before him or her there is quite a choice. Recently I just noticed a large store chain advertising proudly that they sold 37 different types of fish on their fish counters. We live in an age of choice, an age where people are invited to go and literally to choose what they want, to ignore what they do not want. It's an age of pick and mix. Some of you, like me, I'm sure they still do this in some places, will remember some of the shops where you went in and got your pick and mix, and you chose all your favourite sweets and put them into the bag. Why do I say this? I say that because what has happened in our country and in our nation and in much of the West is that this whole idea of pick and mix, choose what you want, discard what you don't want, has actually become part and parcel of how people think. We call it, if we want to use fancy words, a postmodern way of thinking. And no longer, apparently, is there such a thing as right and wrong. You choose what you think is right and wrong. You pick and mix your spirituality. As someone recently said, I read, and I quote, "Truth is what you find for yourself, not what someone else tells you." It's no longer the case to say, "Here is the truth, believe it." Now it's a case, "Try this for size, you might like it," and believe it. But you see, Christianity stands up in opposition to all of this. Christianity still claims and still proclaims, and if some of you remember the old program, The X-Files with Scully and Mulder, that the truth is out there. The truth is out there. And actually, more than that the truth has come to us in Jesus. What is this truth? It's not some fancy philosophical idea or some set of rules and regulations, but it is a person, Jesus Christ. This is the unique claim of the Christian gospel, that the truth for every generation, for every age, is to be found in a person, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the claims of Jesus are extraordinary and remarkable, and so we come this morning to see some of them. Matthew chapter 11. And Jesus has been speaking here. I wonder, have you ever felt in life that no matter what somebody would do, they would get criticized? And that's what happened with Jesus. People criticized John the Baptist because he didn't eat or drink. And then Jesus came and ate and drank, and they criticized him as a glutton and a drunkard. People will always criticize no matter what happens. That is human nature. And Jesus pronounces a judgment on these people who ought to have known better. He says to some of these local communities, and he mentions Sodom and Gomorrah, "If Sodom and Gomorrah had seen what you have seen, they would have repented. But you, no, you have seen so much, and yet you have not repented." And what a word that is for many today. Many, even in the kingdom of Mourne, many in this province of Ulster, they have heard the gospel again and again and again, and still they refuse to believe. They will not repent and believe the gospel. And Jesus, having said all of that, comes towards the end of this chapter to say some extraordinary things about himself. Look at verse 27. Jesus says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. What an extraordinary statement for a man to make. If you want to know the Father, you need to know me. If you want to go to the Father, you need to come to me. What an extraordinary thing for anyone to say. I remember one of the big religious leaders of our world, Gandhi, as he came towards the end of his life, one of his followers and friends came to him and said to him, "You have been looking for God. Have you found him yet?" as he lay dying in his bed. To which Gandhi replied, "No, I am still looking for God." And yet here we have Jesus Christ, this extraordinary individual who says, "If you want to know God, come to me. If you want to know the way to God, come to me." And then we have this wonderful little text that we're going to focus on this morning, which is a real challenge and a blessing, I think, for our souls. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And you look at that image, and for many, there's something resonates in your heart, and you say, "Yes, I can identify with that. Life is not easy. Life is sometimes a burden. Life is sometimes a struggle. Where can I find rest? Where can I find a peace? Where can I find a shalom?" And that's what we think about this morning. If you like, rest for the weary. The first thing is literally a very simple thing. The simplicity in Christ's call. There is something deceptively simple and profoundly simple in this warm invitation. Jesus says, having spoken about what's going on and having spoken into the reality of life where people were saying this and that about him and criticizing him and condemning him, and people who ought to have known better were ignoring him and refusing to believe, Jesus still says, "Come to me. Come to me." Notice what he does not say. He does not say, "Go and run up to the top of that hill there 1,000 times and you'll earn your salvation." He doesn't say, "Carry out some practice." He doesn't say, "Fulfill some regulation or attend that place or even read that book." He says, "Come to me. Come to me." And so we deliberately sang that beautiful hymn by Horatius Bonner again this morning. "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest." You know, who may come? Well, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." I'm not going to do it, but if I was to ask you this morning, put up your hand if you've ever felt weary and burdened, I suspect that most hands would go up. And if I was to ask, put up your hand, it wouldn't be appropriate, of course, to do this in a public way, but even within the quietness of your own soul, who is weary and burdened here today? I'm sure many hands would go up. But here's the good news. Jesus says, if you're weary and burdened, come to me. Come to me. You know, in Jesus' day, that would also have resonated. For example, Jesus would have been speaking here not only to the Jewish people who were literally burdened down with religion and with rules and traditions and regulations that was literally smothering the life out of them. He says, come to me. But he would also have been speaking to Greeks, for example. Greeks, at this stage in human history, had exhausted themselves by the search for truth. They were looking for an answer. They were always on the search for the answer. And Jesus says, all of you, come to me. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. Do you hear that this morning? Person here this morning and you're burdened, you're troubled, you're weary. Maybe you're here and you're a professing Christian and, if truth be told, you're still somewhat burdened by something. Maybe in the deep recesses of your soul, things are not quite what they should be and you're troubled, you're finding things a struggle. Come back to Jesus. He says, come to me. That's why as believers, we need to keep coming back to Jesus every day. But let me just go into this a little bit more. The authority in Christ's call. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What is Jesus going to say? He says something really interesting. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. You will have heard this before. The yoke, it was literally a horizontal. I should have had a picture of one. But anyway, I don't at this moment. The yoke was a horizontal wooden frame which was laid on the necks of the oxen who would have been a common sight in the fields of Palestine. And indeed, if you go to some parts of the world today, you will still see that. But here's the point. In the Bible, the word yoke is used as a symbol of authority and often a symbol of oppression and oppressed authority and repressive authority. The yoke became a symbol, a picture of something that was a heavy, heavy load and a heavy, heavy burden. And as I said, in Jesus' day, religion had put a heavy load on people's shoulders. Jesus says, Matthew 23 and verse 4, speaking about the Pharisees, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. And the picture there of the yoke being laid upon the shoulders of men and women, a yoke made up of religion. And in that sense, Paul speaks in Galatians 5, just at the beginning of it, of being set free by the gospel and not, quote, burdened again by a yoke of slavery, unquote. And so into that whole context, Jesus says to these people, take my yoke upon you. It's not a heavy yoke. It's not a burdensome thing. In fact, it's easy and it's light compared to all of this other stuff. What's this essentially saying? What's the authority in Christ's call? The authority here is literally Jesus calls each and every one of us to submit to his authority, to take his yoke upon us. But what we actually discover, and I'll say more about this just in a moment, is that it's not a heavy yoke. It's something light. What does this mean for you and me on a daily basis? We are called here to get yoked up with Jesus. To step out literally in obedience to him. That was the point of the yoke. The oxen went in the direction that the farmer wanted them to go in. They were under his authority. They were subject to obey him. And Jesus says, I want you to yoke up with me. I want you to submit to me. I want you to come under my guidance, my authority, my lordship. That's essentially what a Christian is, isn't it? It's someone who submits to the authority of Jesus in their heart. You know, sometimes in life we make things very complicated. But a Christian is simply coming to the place in our lives where we realize our need of a Savior. And in Jesus, we see one who died for our sins on the cross and who rose again on the third day. And he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Discard the other yokes that are on you and are actually driving you into the ground. What does that mean in a very practical way? As we come to Jesus, it means submitting to him. Can I ask you this morning, brother and sister in Christ, are you submitting to the Lord in all things? Have you taken seriously the call of the lordship of Jesus upon your life, every part of your life, every room, if you like, in your spiritual home? Or are you still saying to Jesus, Jesus, you're not really welcome in that department of my life? You'll not know the blessing until you submit entirely to the Lord. But we never can know the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. We have to put up the L plates. We are learners. We are always learners. We are always learning until the day we leave this world. That's what a disciple is. And maybe that's a word for someone here this morning. Stop trying to give the impression that you have it all together. You haven't it all together, nor have I. You and I are always learning. Come to Jesus afresh and acknowledge that. And ask for his grace and his rest and his peace. In very practical terms, it means carving out time in busy lives to be alone with the Master. To speak with him in prayer. To open his word. To take time, as the old hymn says, to be holy. It means each new day, every day, to submit to him. The 10th of July, the 11th of July, the 12th of July, the 13th of July, the 14th of July, to submit each and every day to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. But here's the third thing. The surprise in Christ's call. You see, there are many who misunderstand what Jesus says here, and they come to the conclusion, well, if I submit everything to Jesus, then I will lose everything. But it's the entire opposite. There are some who feel that if we come and subject ourselves to Jesus, then life becomes a straitjacket. It's a suffocation of what we really are. Everybody wants to be free. Of course we do. No one wants to be subject to anyone or anything else. And many a battle and literal strife has been fought in life personally and globally because people want to be free. No one will rule over me. No one, no thing. And freedom, the cry of the human heart, has gone out in every generation. But here's the surprise. When we come to Jesus and we submit to his yoke, his authority, his lordship, we discover not a constrained oppression, not a straight jacket-like subjection that frustrates the life out of us. But we discover a rest for our souls and a new liberation, a new freedom to be what God always intended us to be. Do you see that? Do you understand that? That's what the gospel does. The gospel does not come and put people into a little box and stifle them to be something that they never wanted to be. The gospel sets people free to be under God what they were always intended to be. And we discover that when we lose all for Jesus, we gain all. And when we try to hold on to all, we lose all. That is the paradox of the gospel. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." As I finish, can I ask you this morning? You're here this morning and you've never come to Jesus. Maybe you've profoundly misunderstood the gospel. You think if I come to Jesus, I will be stifled. I will be frustrated. I will be putting on a straitjacket. Absolutely not. You will be set free from your sins, from the punishment for your sins. And you will be set free from a multitude of other things. You will be set free to be yourself under God, to live for the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a professing Christian. And the truth of the matter is, this morning you read this and you say, "Lord, there's something not quite right in my soul. I don't feel that rest. I still feel a burden. I still feel an anxiety. I still feel that life is weary. I still feel that everything's getting on top of me. I don't feel this shalom. I don't feel this rest." Is that you? I suspect there are people like that here today. And what you need to do is you need to go back as a Christian and just literally go before the Lord and say, "Lord, this is how I feel," and get to the root of what that problem is and lay it before the Lord, bring it to the Lord, bring your burdens to him and say, "Lord, fill me afresh with a sense of this peace, this shalom, this rest. And Lord, keep me close to you, because when I wander away from you and when something else comes in to disrupt the whole thing, then my peace goes and everything goes. I can't cope actually." And the key to the change is in here, in your own soul, a closer walk with the Lord. Oh, for a closer walk with God. That's the key. And you and I have discovered in our lives that whenever things are not right in here, everything's all wrong out here. But whenever, by the grace of God, things begin to be a wee bit better in here, things take on a better perspective out here. Have you discovered that? Absolutely. That is the key. That is true. So, so true. So for many of us, hopefully all of us, we go from this service today and we go back to our homes and we find a quiet place and we say, "Lord, I need this rest. I need this peace, this shalom. Whatever's happened in my soul, it's disrupted it. Lord, bring me back that peace. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." A short prayer and then we close with our hymn. Father, we pray that this word this morning would touch our hearts, touch our souls, that we would experience that shalom, that rest that only Jesus can give. Lord, whatever other yokes are upon us, Lord, help us to set them to the side and to take the yoke of Jesus, which is easy and light. Lord, hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.